Hello and welcome to the Disconnected Gamers Podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as J-Bone. With me, as always.
I'm going to keep it going. I mean, if they still don't know, they'll know.
I don't think they know.
You should let them know, though. It's their boy, Mike.
And we also have a special guest, Mike, good friend of yours.
Yeah, my
boy.
Of
mine, CJ Marsh.
How's it going, guys?
Good. So why don't you, since they, I mean, they don't really know who we are either, but they definitely don't know who you are. Why don't you give them a little bit about yourself? You're an artist.
Yeah. Well, I've been, I'm a illustrator slash concept artist. And here lately, I've been doing a lot of like the conventions and like Comic Cons and stuff like that. And selling my artwork.
Cool.
And a concept artist typically is a, for people who don't know, because apparently a lot of people don't know what that is basically an artist who is working on, say, movies or video games or like just anything in the entertainment industry for that matter. And the ideas for, say, characters, monsters, level design, you know, all that stuff. The director goes to their concept artists and then they basically give us the ideas and we're the ones that try to make those ideas actually happen and try to convey their idea as best we can into, say, a character or, you know,
landscape.
Like even, yeah, and like a box even.
Yep. So when you do these, when you do the trade show or trade shows, why do I always say trade shows, the conventions like PAX and PAX or Comic-Con, whatever, do you ever actually do like work on the spot or is it mostly just selling prints and like taking commissions?
I do a lot of, work on the spot where I'll take a I call them same day commissions.
Mm-hmm.
And, I give people the options of black and white sketches, which I have some up on my Facebook page.
Yep.
And then I also have colored ones that I started doing recently. And I've been doing some Pokemon ones lately, and those have been to seem to get a lot of people's attention.
Yeah, I saw the black and white Kylo Ren Monopoly. That's pretty good. And I mean, obviously, yeah, the Pokemon ones are pretty badass. That Charizard, though.
It hurts.
He's so jacked. Squirtle, though. Squirtle's my boy.
I did the starters.
You did the starters. Yeah, I know. You did Blastoise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I'm planning on doing all 151.
See, I had a similar idea of doing... because I'm a graphic designer, though I don't really practice. Because it's just meh. I had like started making images of the Pokemon for like T-shirts, but I was just knocking them out, and I was like, that's not like really reinventing the wheel. So I was knocking them out behind like the type they were. So if it was like, you know, there was a Pikachu with like a lightning bolt going through it, and then it was like and I was like, I had done, I think like maybe 17 of them, and I was like, God, this is so painfully boring. I stopped. It's like, and like that's the thing why I give like artists so much credit, because I'm like, man, I would lose my mind having to like draw the same thing over and over, or like. Especially when I assume you're working as a concept artist and they're like, I want you to give me like a forest. And that could be anything. It's like, no, there's too many trees. Oh, now there's not enough trees.
Yeah.
Why are the trees so close together? Like, I imagine there are some horror stories of people not. And it's like, just tell me exactly what you want and I'll give it to you.
Yeah, exactly. It's what I tell every client. I say, the best description you can give, no matter how detailed or how long or how over the top descriptive you think it is, that's good. Like, I want that because I can get more into their mindset for what they're wanting.
Right. Yeah. Cause like, I can't see inside your brain.
Yeah.
You gotta use words to tell me.
Yeah.
Well, so we'll start with your topic and feel free to fire when ready.
Okay. Just kind of just talk about what concept art is, or
Sure. Now, so
okay.
do you do when you take concept art like requests, do you have like a network that you kind of like I is there like a LinkedIn for concept artists, or is it just kind of people discover you and then
Right now I'm kind of early in my career with it, so like lately it's been just word of mouth or like just meeting people, and say I'd bump into someone at a convention,
Right, the business card shuffle.
and just like, oh, hi, nice to meet you, here's my portfolio, blah blah blah, but like for the most part, you got to apply for like the big studio positions, and those are so damn cutthroat to get into, which I'm still trying. So hopefully that I'll get a bite soon. But the big industry jobs, those are like the holy grails of concept art jobs, that they go so fast, and the moment they get on the market, like every concept artist who has ever heard of that game studio is just like, yes, I don't care if I live across the world, I'll travel. It's like, because the beauty about our job is, especially in this day and age, is we can work from home,
Yeah, and
and
you can work almost from anywhere. Like
anywhere.
literally, you need a relatively powerful computer, a tablet, and like a desk, and like a sketchbook, so you can like do rough drafts.
Oh yeah, and an internet connection. That's all
Right,
you
and
need.
an internet connection.
Yeah. No, it's pretty fun though. Like it's one of the few industries that I've experienced where you have to constantly push yourself to like evolve and get better, which you don't, which I've kind of, as I've been doing the convention scene, I've noticed a lot of artists that go there, they have, say you have a print that they of a painting they did like 3 years ago, and then they have a print that they did just a few weeks ago. A lot of those artists, it looks the same level of work. And a lot of concept artists, at least in my experience that I've met, you can see 3 years ago versus 3 weeks ago.
The
Like,
evolution of the work.
oh yeah, because we're always constantly trying to push ourselves to, do better, and make ourselves more, sellable and marketable. Like we want our work to, be picked up. Like we want to, say if Blizzard contacted me or something, and if I had, and if I was giving them the level of, say, say I was giving them Dark Souls looking artwork, like it's cool, but it's still not Blizzard's look, So,
Yeah,
and
I
it's
mean
like,
that's a thing too, right? It does that happen? Sorry, I'm
oh
like not trying to cut you off like, but I mean I should probably explain what I mean. Like, does that happen? Does what happen? Like when you want to apply for a company or you try to and they like just straight up say like you don't have the aesthetic that
you
we
don't
need,
fit,
where like
yeah.
unfortunately it forces you to typecast yourself into like a style.
Oh, somewhat. What tends to happen sometimes is, say for example, I did like bring Dark Souls level of artwork. Like it's great, and that is a huge, like that is very, very well done artwork, and I love all that work. But like, say you go to Blizzard and you give them your portfolio, and all you got is the, Dark Souls stuff. What they'll do is, a lot of the times they'll give you what is called an art test. And they'll say, like, they'll give you like a small freelance commission or something. Sometimes they're paid for the most part. You'll get the odd one here and there that isn't paid, which sucks, but it's something that you can do within a few minutes, which is like a very simple, rough character, or like a bust of a character. Be like, hey, we love your stuff, but can you do our style? They'll say, like, here, draw an orc in our style and send it to us, and if it fits, then yeah, we'll hire you.
So
But
it's like an interview, but it's more like an art interview.
artist interviews.
Well,
it's because it's weird too, right? Because like even in the, I'm thinking like even from like a game, like a game dev perspective of like a coder, like I wonder if they're ever like, hey, code like some function and we want to see how you code it, and like the way that people structure their code could be the same way of like a fingerprint for like, you
Oh
know, how
man.
your art style is.
Oh
I don't
yeah,
know anything
no.
about coding, but
No, it's super complicated, like, and like especially like with concept artists, you have to know what is doable, like program wise. Like say, like because what happens is it goes, the game developer will give you the idea to the concept artists. Concept artists then create the 2D, sometimes 3D characters. Then they move it over to the 3D modeler who sculpts it into what's going to be the playable character in the game. And then that moves over to the animator. Now, when it moves over to the 3D modeler and the animator, you have to take into account when you're designing a character, can they model this? And can this be animated? Like, say, if you did like Sonic the Hedgehog, but he was actually like a literal hedgehog with all them spikes and everything. Like that's something you got to take into account. Can they model each individual spike, and is that within the budget of the game for them to do that?
Oh, what they're
Because,
actually.
yeah, I mean, because like Pixar, like Sully from Monsters, Inc., every single one of his hairs is a single hair animated. That's why he mo when he moves, like all of his fur kind of moves with him. But you know, not every game studio has, say, the Pixar budget where they can do like, hey, we're gonna do a Monsters, Inc. game and we need you to animate every single hair on Sully, just like the movie.
That'd be pretty crazy.
That just, well, just kind of like, I mean, I know Pixar like pushes it to the limit. I did not realize that every single,
Yeah.
that's like just the computing power to just render that kind of stuff.
Oh
So
man,
it's
yeah,
just.
it's there's so many like little tiny things that so like just because a concept artist or say a 3D modeler makes like it's
Like,
goes
yeah,
over
you
the
make it
top
in
of
Blender, but then like now put it in motion.
people.
Or Maya, I guess, would be the like industry 3D program, right? Maya.
It's like a lot of people do like Maya and me personally, I've dabbled in ZBrush.
Okay.
So, but I'm far from a 3D modeler. I make poop.
Well, I make nothing, so
You're ahead
you're a step ahead of me.
the game.
So this is a question that I was thinking of while you were talking about like the video game industry and concept artist jobs. Is like aside from, I mean, I get that concept art has to exist in theory in all things, but like where, like what else besides like video games would like the biggest demand for like a concept artist be? Right? Like is it like I don't know, I'll let you.
Well, the two big ones are the video game industry and the movie industry. Because movies, like say, I use this example all the time, Aliens. The Xenomorphs on there, like H.R. Giger was basically, he had to design those monsters, and he was basically like in charge of creating what those xenomorphs look like. So like because a xenomorph, like no one from like right at the beginning, they're like, okay, that's exactly what we want. They went through like probably 20 to 30 different ideas of what it looked like, and they're going off of Giger's work. And you know, like even Star Wars, they've done the same thing. Like if you go back and look at all the original concept art, Luke actually had a mask at one point. And there's a joke between a friend of mine. He Obi-Wan Kenobi had a pink lightsaber at the very beginning. So when we'll do a joke, like if we're drawing something and it doesn't look quite right, or like it's changed drastically from what our concept was, we just say pink lightsaber. Pink lightsaber, man.
Oh man, that's see, I didn't. I mean, when like right when you said that, I was like, oh my God, that's right, the xenomorphs, right? Because like it doesn't exist in the real world, so you have to conceptualize like, how do we make this thing that doesn't exist look like a thing, and
Oh yeah.
create and then create it, right? And in that sense, it was he had to come up with what it looked like, and then someone else had to make it as a costume for like a person to wear, you know, or like a something to animate, you know, like an animatronic or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's all kinds of in stuff, like small things too, like you would never know, like oh God, what was it? Like toys. The toy industry is actually uses concept artists sometimes.
Yeah, it's like I'm thinking in my head like anything that involves like art related stuff, but it's like, you know, there's like the levels of concept art, right? It's like, oh, who gets to design the box for like toaster ovens?
Yeah.
And it's like that's not ex it's not sexy, you know, like designing like creatures or animals or like toys. But then I'm thinking like is a industrial designer like a like cons is that like basically like being a concept artist but with like another layer on top of it? I don't know.
See, concept art and concept artist, the from what I've experienced, there's that is such a there's such a wide variety of concept artists. You'll have concept artists who are specifically, which is my expertise, character designers. And those are the holy grail jobs because everyone wants to be a character
Everyone,
designer.
yeah.
Everyone wants to draw, design the monsters, you know.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, I see
Yeah,
that.
everyone wants to do the fun stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like those are also the ones you got to bring your A game because you got to be the best of the best to get those jobs. Hence, you know, you got to keep evolving. but then you have like stuff where you get to design, say, like the pots in Legend of Zelda or something, you know, like you got to design all the different pots that you can pick up and crush.
Right, and
Or
it all has to be cohesive to everything else in the game.
yeah,
It's
it's
like
all your stuff
Destiny, right? Like I always and like, oh man, I'm waiting for somebody to be like, oh
style.
man, he's talking about Destiny again. Like when you think of like all the different planets you go to on in the game, right? You go to Earth, you go to Venus, you go to Mars, you go to the moon, right? Like everything has its own aesthetic that fits that environment.
Oh,
And
exactly.
it's like that means either they had like, well, I assume they probably had a team for each one, or you have like a group of really talented people because they have to not accidentally bring something from like Mars into the moon because they are two completely different areas. And it's like you have to work on what you know of like Mars as a desert, so assume everything's desert-like, and like the moon is, you know, the moon, right? And even the ca and like the enemies, right? Same kind of thing.
Oh
Ugh.
yeah. No,
Okay, my
exactly.
head's kind of spinning a little thinking about this. It's a
Oh,
lot of
I know.
stuff.
It's a lot of stuff. Like when I first understood it, like when you next time you go play any video game, like just think of everything in there had to be created by a concept artist at some point. Like we all had to draw that. Like there, I mean, not like every single little rock or anything, but you
Right,
know.
right, right.
But no, like the best example that I always like, I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were saying that environment artists often get probably, I think, the shortest end of the stick. Because think of, think of Fable. You know the demon doors, every time you open the door, you run in, you grab the chest, and then you leave.
I didn't play Fable.
Oh, okay. And then let's think, just any RPG or anything where,
Okay,
like,
how about
say,
Zelda? Is there a way you could reference this for Zelda? I've played quite a bit
okay.
of Zelda.
Okay, let me think here. It's been a while since I've
Yeah,
played
I
Zelda.
wasn't an Xbox person, so I didn't. That's why I never played Fable.
No, you're
Fair
good.
enough.
Okay, say you enter like one of the hallways for, say, one of the temples.
Okay.
Like the very front of the temple, you know, there's like pillars or something, you know, there's all kind of different things, you know, around, but you're just like, oh shit, okay, here's the chest. You run straight to the chest. The environment designer who did that spent probably hours upon hours designing the way that level is supposed to look. And for people to spend all but 2 seconds in there to grab the chest and then leave.
Ah,
Right.
I see what you
So
mean.
every time you see, like, say, these elaborate, areas, it's like all super designed really well. And it's like, oh, chest, boom, you just go get the loot and then you just bail.
Right,
Right.
yeah, you
Like,
don't focus on the time and the effort that somebody else. No, I've
they
been
put
getting
into.
better about things like that. I mean, it's one of those things too because I'm fascinated with how things work. Like, 'cause I originally was went to school for mechanical engineering, and then turns out that I can't do math, so didn't work out. But like, I'm fascinated with how things come together. So like, the back end of like creating games, and then when you start looking at stuff, and seeing like how it's put together, or like the attention to detail on certain things. But was it what was funny was yesterday I was playing Tomb Raider on Xbox, and as I'm like playing the game, I was narrating the events before they happened. And so I was like, okay, I was like, I guarantee you that I'm gonna cross this threshold. I was like, and it's gonna cue a cutscene. I was like, and I'm gonna have to fight a wave of enemies. I'm like, because I see explosive barrels carefully planted in several areas. I was like, and places for me to duck behind. And literally the second I walked in, it cues a cutscene and it started a wave battle. And I was like, see, this is one of those things. If you spend enough time looking at your environment and looking at the game, you can kind of figure out what's about to happen. It's like
Oh
long
yeah.
dark hallway, probably an enemy at the end of it.
Oh yeah, as soon as they start giving you health items, boss.
Yeah, exactly. Like, whoa, all of a sudden the game's giving me tons of ammo and health.
Yep,
The
time to save.
Resident Evil giveaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Resident Evil's like a fantastic game because I love the environments, I love all the stuff, but I can't play those games.
No, the too jumpy.
Yeah, I don't like jumps. Like, even Mike and I, we played what was that, Resident Evil 5 or 6?
Both. We played
Okay.
both.
Mike's literally like, okay, when you walk in, because like there's parts where your characters get separated, and I'm just like, Mike, what do I do? And Mike's like, all right, you're gonna go forward, but there's a thing that's gonna jump out on your left, and it's gonna jump out like right before the block with the thing on it. And I'll be like, okay, block, but oh my god! Like, I
Yeah,
don't.
it's.
He'll
You'll
kill,
get
like, he
him.
told me exactly where everything was. Nope,
You'll still
still can't
get.
do it.
Yeah, no. See, I'm the weird one where I have jump moments on games that shouldn't have jump moments. Like Skyrim. I'm playing Skyrim and I'm just going on my merry way, and then all of a sudden I have a bandit slashing at my back, and I jump because I don't know that's happening. Like, where the hell's
Right.
it going on? And then there's a guy in my face just swinging his axe.
That happens to me too.
And then, I go and play Fear, and a buddy of mine thought it was going to be funny to just me play Fear and not tell me anything.
Is fear like Outlast or anything like that? I don't, what's fear?
It's kind of like a shooter horror game.
Yeah, like a
So
psychological shooter
like Dead
horror
Space
type
maybe?
thing. Kind of
Kind of,
ish. Yeah,
yeah.
ish.
Yeah, it's close. It's
Okay.
a real close comparison.
Yeah, 'cause Dead Space I'm thinking is like, besides like Dead Space and Resident Evil, those would be like the two.
Oh yeah.
That's like it. Those are like my two games that I've played that are scary, and that's it.
Oh no. Fear, there's this part where you start like your guy starts kind of freaking out and you're seeing like visions and stuff and you can't tell like what's real or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a
Yep.
scene where you end up in like this hospital hallway and you're just like walking and then the floor starts to fill up with blood and then you're like kind of sloshing through it and you're trying to get to this door at the end of the hallway because you're hearing I think it's like baby cries or you're hearing something happening and you get to the door right as you get to the door you peek in you see the doctor kind of hunched over I think like a lady or something. And you turn around, and then a skeleton pops out of the blood and attacks you, and then it cuts you right back to where you were in the game. And
Nope.
yeah, it was funny because like my buddy he knew what was coming, and as I'm sitting there playing, I'm just moseying on. I'm like, man, when am I gonna get my gun back? And I'm just walking, start sloshing. I get to the end. I turn around the skeleton, and my buddy, he jumps. I'm just sitting there, kind of stone cold face, and then just co continue on and just start killing people. And he's just like, "Dude, how the hell did that not get you?" I'm like, "Well, you kind of, it's kind of leading up to it if you think about it. Like hallway, blood, you know, something's gonna happen that's
Yeah,
gonna."
there's all this, they're building up all this suspense.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's like when I played Until Dawn at PAX Prime,
Oh.
and because I was I'm friends with the community manager at the time for XDev, she was like, "Oh, we have two stations that we put a heart rate monitor on you and we film you when you play." So they were like, who's most likely to get like scared? And everyone in my group was like, him. And I was like, fucking Judas is selling me out. So whatever. So I go and I play. Everything in the game scared the crap out of me. I didn't have to stop. The game crashed, and then I didn't want to like re-go through the whole demo, which was kind of like saving grace, I suppose. But nope. Yeah, no, me and scary games, no. That's why one of those things like I always wonder how like concept artists come up with like such dark like horror games in general. Like what place do you have to put your like even like when you think like Rob Zombie and the movies he's made, right? Like where do you have to put yourself to
Oh,
come up
mentally
with
or
these ideas or to like conceptualize and visualize
I
these
will.
things.
Oh man. You know, me personally, I enjoy creepy stuff. So like, a lot of like I love like classic horror movies,
Okay.
and you know, like I love all that kind of dark and grittiness.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, some of these games and stuff, you need to kind of say you need to draw a corpse or something. You know, you can guess the best to your ability what a corpse looks like. I mean, everyone in their thought, you know, in their mindset, oh, I know how a corpse looks. But it's the places I've been to on the internet are some fucked up places. I'll just throw that out
Yeah,
there.
no, I can imagine that.
So no, there is a lot of
Dark
it's
corners.
yeah. There, well, the thing is about being a concept artist, and which is kind of it's bad but kind of cool at the same time, is the inquisitive and like the scientific parts of everything that you get to learn.
For sure.
Like there is something I was doing, like a cricket man or something like that at one point. And I thought what would be kind of cool is, you know how crickets like chirp like a certain noise level or something. Well, I was thinking, you know, a gigantic human-sized version of that. Like how loud would that actually be? And you know, I was doing some research, and you know, it's like you find out these little things about like how high-pitched a cricket's chirp really is and how far off it would be to actually deafen somebody. And it's like I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's only like a few decibels away from actually completely deafening somebody.
That's
So like
crazy.
a large human-sized cricket could easily just
Deafen
deafen.
everybody nearby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's so that, and you know what? This brings up because we were taught we're, you know, we're going into the darker depths and stuff, right? This was something I always talked about when, like, I see different horror games being played, different whatever, you know, scary. They never ever put kids in the game, right? Generally, you never see that because that's weird.
Right.
And Dying Light is one of the first games that I can think of in recent history, right? Like even when you think like Grand Theft Auto, right? There's never I don't recall there being kids that you can like run over with your car.
Oh, no, not at all.
And but like Dying Light, there were these younger zombie kids and all they did was just scream when you got near them. And
Oh, yep.
literally you would go up and it would like be like hold X to quiet them. Well, quieting them was just strangling them to death. or you could just shoot them, you know. And yeah. I remembered getting to that the first kid in the game and being like, holy crap, they finally put a kid in the damn game. Like, how many games do we have to play where there's never children? And it's like, yeah, I get it. That you know, then you go into the thing of like, oh well, if you're killing children in games, blah 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 blah. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Like we have to, if you want the game to be realistic, then you it has to be realistic. Like,
so, yeah,
you can't go half in.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, like even in Resident Evil, like you never really see that.
It's something you don't see, yeah.
And it's one of those things, like for me, I would like, I'm not saying I would rather see it,
because you have to push down.
But it, well, that's the thing, you got to put the kids down. But like, my thing is like, what would the global reception be to that, right? Because when you think of like horror movies, you know,
mm-hmm.
people get wrecked all the time. Like in The Walking Dead, kids died and stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, where's that line being drawn between like horror in movies and horror in video games? And is it because you have no control over what happens on TV, but you have control over it in the video game? I don't know. Or maybe, mm-hmm. like, I don't know. That's a weird thing to be like, hey, I need you to do some concept art on a zombie. Okay, it's a kid. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I don't, you know, then, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Well, you see, I've always approached, like, if someone wanted me to do something like that, you know, I'm pretty open-minded to a lot of mm-hmm. things, too. So, like, I try to do the best of my abilities that I can.
Right.
You know, and, you know, say, you know, hey, you want... I'm also the morbidly curious yes. to where like someone's like, oh yeah, we need you to do a zombie kid. I'm like, oh, that sounds awesome. I'll do it. You know?
Right. Well, and there's also like mm-hmm. the playful, like illustrations of things versus like the like super realistic, you know,
yeah.
pieces of flesh missing, you know, zombie kids where it's like, oh, it's not, you know, I don't yeah. know. It's weird. It's one of those things like, 10, 20 years from now, I feel like we won't be having this conversation.
Almost too much versus.
Well, it's just when you look at how we've progressed in terms of mm-hmm. like what video games have been able to do and get away with.
Right.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's true.
I mean, it's like it's opened the door for, you know, endless possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay by me.
I think
I just don't play the games.
Yeah.
I don't really. Something... I'm not going to stop you, but.
Yeah. Well, there is something that I always remember from it was a really bad game, Dante's Inferno.
Oh,
yeah. I was so hyped about that game too, and they had a level where you fought zombie or not zombie. It was hell fetuses, and mm-hmm. like it was like really brutal, like how you had to deal with them sometimes because you could actually just grab it and then just like rip it apart.
Was well, did this game not come out or did come
no,
out?
No, it did. Okay. It just tanked because everyone like it was one of those games that the first maybe 30 minutes of the game was awesome. And then after that, it was just cookie cutter enemy puzzle. That's the same puzzle you solved in every other level of hell that you've been in.
Mm-hmm.
The final boss fight was pretty fun, but, you know, there's also still, like, no story or, like, very vague story to where it's like, what the hell did I just play?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Is that now so because you are more, like, prone to that type of, like, attention level when you play games? Like, I notice a lot of repeat things and things like that or, like, when a game doesn't have good textures. Now, are you like, is it painful for you sometimes to play games because you're like, oh my god, this enemy is literally the same but with a blue tunic instead of a red one?
Sometimes, yeah, because like me personally, I think like one of the things that I guess one that I got over was God of War was one of my favorite games growing up,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of do that, but at the same time, they change each of their enemies or mobs just enough to where, like, say you're fighting Greek soldiers one level. Well, you're fighting those same Greek soldiers another level. However, they're now, like, corpses. So, like, they look slightly different, mm-hmm. like, but, like, different enough to make their own characters.
Right.
And I've always enjoyed that small level attention to detail. Like when you're fighting, like, say, the endless mobs of hordes of zombies or something, then you go into the next level and then those zombies are now upgraded fast, feral zombies. And then you got your tanks or your big dudes that come in later.
Right.
You just progressively get harder and harder. But like just kind of reskins. I don't know. To me, I find it kind of. I know why game studios do it, because it's cost effective, it's
Right, it's
cheap,
cheaper.
Right, yeah.
than to design a full character. But in my opinion, I've always found it kind of lazy.
Yeah.
What's your worst example of a game that like reskinned all its enemies basically the same?
Oh man, definitely Dante's Inferno.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that one was. Oh, it's so bad. Because what you're doing is you're playing as Dante, and you're going down all the levels of hell. It's like the nine circles of hell. And each they started with, I think, the first two or three circles of hell. Like you're starting off in like purgatory, then you're like going down, down, down. They would give you a new demon that you would fight that was based off that level of hell that you're in. Like you could get to like lust and you fight these essentially vagina penis monsters, which was, I'm not joking. Like,
No, he's yeah, it's crazy.
yeah. And like you're like, okay, well, I get that. Like that's cool. It's weird, but like it's totally cool because they're like designing creatures based on the circle of hell. And you progress further, then you get to about where greed is. And that's when I think the game started going south, because everything that they did was just totally skinned, but as gold. Like it was just totally reskinned characters from every single one of the circles of hell before you. Just they were
Right.
painted gold. And then you just then past greed, it's just same characters, same bosses. Like you just play over again what you just done, and it gets boring.
Right.
It's just
Nothing
it's
fresh.
cringeworthy, in my opinion. You're just like, oh man, these guys again.
Yeah. It's like, oh, same thing, just they're different colors. Great.
Damn. Well, that
But then you get to
sucks.
the boss fight, and that's really cool. You get to
Yeah.
fight Satan.
It's like it's always one of those things like when I was thinking of like when you get to the end of like Wolfenstein 3D and it was like you fought Hitler but he was in like a giant robot suit.
Yeah. I fought Mech Hitler.
Yeah, I fought
Mecha
Mech
Hitler.
Hitler, right?
Yeah.
Oh man. That's super rad. But Mike, you, I mean, I feel like we've definitely discussed concept art in depth, so we can jump to your topic.
I still don't have one, so maybe we should just talk about Kojima.
Fine.
So.
I can talk about Hideo Kojima. So obviously Hideo Kojima, he partnered with Sony and he is chilling with Mark Cerny, who just recently got a Twitter account, which I believe is just at Cerny, Cerny. But so Hideo Kojima and Mark Cerny have been going around to all the US Sony studios, right? So they were at Naughty Dog because there's like a tweet of him, of Hideo looking at their like motion capture. He was in Sucker Punch because there was a picture with Sucker Punch, and I have a friend who works there who got to meet him. He was at Bend, same deal. They did like a presentation for him. I assume he's probably gone to like San Diego and Santa Monica. I'm trying to think. Somebody said he's going to Media Molecule next, which means he's going back to Europe.
Media Molecule.
Well, but like in Europe, you'd figure Media Molecule, London Studio, Polyphony. No, Polyphony's Japan.
Yeah, because this country
Evolution,
is going.
Evolution. I'm thinking Evolution. I'm
Evolution,
thinking I
yeah.
was like Drive Club, Drive Club.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think of this? So, my thing, and this is me being like super sleuthy. I think he's talent scouting. right? He's got to build a studio. Yeah. He needs people. What better way to do it than to just kind of take people from the existing Sony family? Maybe
best
take them on,
of the best.
Maybe take them on loan or take them just totally. Mm. Or is it just Sony showing him what kind of technology and resources he has available to him now that he's partnered with Sony?
Right. You don't take Studio Tours just to, you know, meet people. There's
oh, no, you do. I think you do. I'm playing devil's advocate of saying, like, he's stealing Sony employees.
I think he is. I mean, obviously you want to meet people you could possibly work with future projects, but at the same time, you're like, if that person's good, I want them to work with me, too.
Right, but I mean, they already work.
Yeah, but I mean permanently. Like, I want them on my team permanently, is what I would think if I was Kojima. Seeing some of their work, you know.
Mm.
So I agree with you. Let's play devil's advocate.
I think there's a little bit of both probably happening. Like, maybe he's just kind of, he's scoping out, you know, figuring out who, if anybody, he wants to kind of, you know, work with or, like, take them on with him. But at the same time, I think it could be like that's his intentions, but right. Sony's intentions is just like, here, look at all of our stuff, man.
Right. Yeah, because like Mark Cerny is super tech, you know, Sony tech guy, right? He, you know, basically he created the PS4 or developed the architecture or something. And I think the reality is probably, CJ, you're probably right. Sony's probably just being like, hey, you're partnered with us. Let us show you the Sony family. We'll go take you to all of the worldwide studios and show you, you know, what resources they have and what you will have access to, right? Because what better way to do that than to just show him the studios in production? Because in theory, now that he's, you know, probably signed and, you know, partnered and stuff with them, like, he would have access to what they're working on, right? So he's going to get to see crazy PlayStation VR stuff. He's now the only person that probably doesn't work at Ben Studios that knows what fucking game they're making. Jerk. We'll eventually find out. Like, eventually they'll tell us, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I have to assume, like, right, he's going to go to Media Molecule. They're going to show him Dreams. They're going to show him all that technology behind it because, you know, Hideo's now probably in the planning phase of whatever game he really wants to make, right? And it's like Del Toro and him still talk. So there's still a chance for, you know, I mean, it won't be
some version of PT.
Well, that's the thing, right? It won't be PT. It'll just be like horror title game.
Yeah.
Unannounced horror game.
Not Silent Hills.
Yeah,
but Silent
not
Hills.
Silent Hills. Loud, loud mountains.
Yeah.
It would almost be so good if he called the game like The Adventures of Konami or something. Right, like just like totally, like he probably couldn't use the word Konami because I'm sure it's trademarked. But like, just put Konami in it back. Like, name one of the characters Konami backwards, which would be in Mocha, in Moke. I don't know, in something. You know, just throw a shot across their bow.
You know, just have the character and their name Konami and just immediately die.
Yeah. Make it like it would have been so good if he just made the. Like Kojima Productions logo, like look almost identical to the Konami logo. just to stick it to him.
The final kind of screw you guys.
Yeah, I mean, because it's just like there's just no way, and clearly he's obviously had to sign some sort of agreement where he can't talk about it, right? Like,
right, yeah.
You know, maybe he figured it was, and I also wonder if there isn't like. A culture difference in where, like, in the United States, I would be so quick to fucking roast a shitty company that I had worked for, right? The second I was able to.
Right.
And in, you know, Japanese culture, like, everything is so based on respect, which is one of the reasons why he said he was partnering with PlayStation anyways, right? Because he's known them for so long. There is this level of trust and respect. Like, is it that Konami treated him like crap and he's just, it's just respectful to just drop it and move on with his life. right? It's like maybe he's been putting up with it so long that while we all want to know what happened and what transpired, like
he's over it.
He's just like, done. You know what? I'm done. I'm gonna you know, take my money and my skills and go keep making games and keep doing what I love.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, I think that would probably be like, in all honesty, like either culture, like American or Japanese, I think that's probably the best thing to do.
Mm.
Because then you just open up like kind of a console war, if you will, back and forth between each other.
Yeah.
Or not console war, like a war between, you know, companies, and then you get like lawsuits and all that.
Right, that's the thing. Like, would Konami go after him for defamation, or you know, is somebody else gonna go after him because what he said about Konami made some companies leave, you know, partnership agreement. It's like, yeah, it's one of those things like how monetarily worth it is it to get involved in that kind of stuff. But I think it's probably is more of a culture thing. Like in the United States, we're super Sue happy. You know, we love to, you know,
start shit.
Yeah, we do like to start shit. I think it's just, the way, it's just America. It's just freedom.
Back to back champions.
Yeah, world back to back World War champions. That's my thing. Like, so I just think it's interesting that he. Like, I think it's interesting that Mark Cerny got a Twitter and they're also, you know, going all over. Like, so, okay, so this is on Hideo's Twitter. He tweeted this 6 hours ago on the way to, I have to assume he's in London. That's London.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely, because that looks like, yeah, that's all the cabs. So he's in London, so he's probably...
on his way to the studio.
Yeah, I would say he's probably going to like Sony's London studio or Media Molecule, or maybe he's going to Media Molecule tomorrow because he's probably just chilling because today's Sunday.
True.
But it's just kind of really neat that to see him and like Mark Cerny going around and checking out all the different studios.
Mm-hmm.
What the one thing is that I'm actually really interested in is whether or not Hideo Kojima will also start making movies. Like, my guess is that he also has to.
I figured he would.
Well, that's the thing. Like, everything he does is
huge,
so cinematic. Yeah, he's a huge
cinephile.
Guy. It's like, I wonder if he's not also being like, hey, can we do this? But, I mean, also, when you think of, like, what he has access to for motion capture, I mean, now he really could, right? Like, because in theory, maybe he wanted to go see Naughty Dog because instead of building, you know, because that's the thing, right? Is Kojima Productions going to exist in Japan or is it going to exist in the United States? I don't actually know.
Because
I would think he would want to go to like LA or, you know, California where the rest of most games are made, right? Because I think Koji Pro originally, I thought they had an LA office.
Yeah. That's that studio worked on MGO.
Yeah, so I wonder if he won't try to go back to California, and then in theory he'd be like, okay, I can just pop over to, you know, Naughty Dog, and you, because they have their own. It's amazing. I've never actually been, but I've seen pictures. They have an amazing motion capture facility because they were using one somewhere else that was like done for movies and stuff, and then they finally were like, we just need to build our own. It's cheaper if we just build our own,
right?
And then I know that Sucker Punch was doing the same thing, right? And they finally were like, we need our own mocap, and so they built a mocap facility. Bend Studios could have fucking Perpetual Energy Machine and nobody would know. Bastards. I really hope Eric's not listening to this podcast because he's going to be pissed that I'm shitting on them all the time. But I'm just pissed that I want to know what this game is.
Right?
I want to be excited about it. It's probably better that I don't know, because the hype of wanting to know what it is better than the hype of knowing what it is.
Yeah.
And then a year and a half later being like, I don't give a crap.
True.
Like me, because it was what happened with me in The Last of Us. I was so excited, and then I was like, I've told this story before. I was super excited when they first announced the game off of like a minute long clip, and then we didn't get anything for like a full year. It was like E3 or whatever, and I was like, I don't care about this game. And then they gave me a little taste, and I was like, I'm in it. And then I was like, nope, don't care anymore. And then I finally played it, PAX East 2013, and I was like, okay, I've played a portion of the game. I'm sold.
Yeah,
now
you
I
got
can wait,
me again.
Right? It's like Uncharted 4. We've seen enough of the game, and I got to, you know, we got to play the multiplayer, or I got to play the multiplayer beta. Mike, you didn't have the Dream Collection. And, you know, they had it at PSX for people to play. So that was super exciting. You know, now I'm sold, right? I'm excited for Uncharted 4's multiplayer. You know, it's something we haven't had a game like it in a while. So.
In a while, yep.
I feel like I feel like I've been in a game, like, we'll shift topics for like the last 10 minutes of BS chatting. I feel like I've been in a gaming drought. I am surrounded by all these games. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play any of them. Thoughts?
Fair enough.
Mm.
Like, are you talking about what's coming out, or there's
both,
nothing coming
out? Like new games and current games. Like right now, like literally, I turn on my PS4 and I look at everything and I'm just like, meh. And I'm like, Dying Light's got all that new stuff. I could play that. I could go do some raids in Destiny, because that's pretty much like the only thing that's like challenging, you know? And I'm like, eh. And I'm like, oh, I could finish Battlefield Hardline. Meh.
I don't know. I guess me personally, I'm on the other end of that spectrum. Is I have too many games that I would love to play and try.
Not enough time.
I don't know where to begin, and not enough time.
Now, so do you literally own these games, and you're like, ah, I don't know which one I want to play first, or like you want to go buy like every game that's out?
A little bit of both, actually, because there'll be times like. I'm been late to the game with Dragon Age Inquisition.
Okay. Yep.
And I just rebought it, or I shouldn't say I just bought it.
Okay.
And I've been going back and trying to play it, and it's just like trying to find the time and effort to sit there and actually play through it. I'm like, do I want to play Dragon Age right now, or do I want to play, say, some Battlefront, or do I want to turn Smite on real quick?
Mm.
And you know,
well, in Dragon Age, that's like, you know, hours and hours and hours to complete, right? Like, there's if I'm thinking of the same game, so it's like, you know, that games like that, I'm always like, I can't play this and then
can't
put it
down
for like a week and then come back and have a clue of what the hell I was doing.
Yeah.
Is Battlefront really that good? Okay, is Battlefront really that good? Everybody seems to really like it, and I wasn't won over when I played the beta.
It's a hit and miss. It's a huge hit and miss for some.
Me personally, I love playing the Walker missions where you get the AT-ATs in the background. Because, like, you know, my whole thing was I loved Battlefront and Battlefront 2 way back on early Xbox days.
Mm-hmm.
And because those things were, like, that was fun. Like, you could have like space battles and shit, and then they had like the fun
battles,
the weird missions where you could play as like a random alien race. Like, there's one where you got to play as Gungans, and all you did was you were Gungans, and the only weapon you had were grenades, and it was fun. Like, you would die like almost immediately, but you're sitting there fighting the droids from Episode 1. And you're just sitting there just lobbing grenades at him. And
sounds,
I mean,
like Dodgeball from Uncharted.
Oh, God. I love Dodgeball in Uncharted.
There was a game mode in Uncharted, one of the lab maps, where it was like you were in a square room and there was just like a wall on either side of you, like a glass wall. Or I think it was a glass wall.
It's like a volleyball. It almost resembles a volleyball court.
Yeah,
essentially.
And then like there was
you
grenades,
lob grenades.
And you could throw grenades over the walls at each other.
Yeah.
And that was the game.
That sounds...
I really hope they bring that to Uncharted 4.
Or some variation of it, at least.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't get into Battlefront. And I didn't play Battlefront before, and maybe that's why. Like, I'm super stoked for Uncharted 4's multiplayer, because I played Uncharted 3's multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, even like Call of Duty, right? Like, I played the Black Ops 3 beta, but I wasn't, you know...
See, I've never been a big, like shooter or like say Call of Duty. Like Battlefront is kind of like one of the first where I'm kind of like, yeah, I can get behind this, and I can't explain it. Like it's one of those like, it's like what Mike said. It's hit and miss. Like there, you'll play some maps and you're like, okay, this was kind of boring. Or play some of the game types, and you're just like, okay, that one was slightly more fun. But like then you'll have like the one or two that you play and like, oh, that was fucking fun, like queue up again.
Right.
But I don't know,
It's also more fun with friends too.
yeah, exactly. It's definitely a multiplayer with your buddies game.
So what's well, okay, so my most exciting unreleased game right
Rented
now
or something, I don't know.
is Uncharted 4, right? That's what I want. What do you guys want? What's your most current, as of like right now, what's the game you're waiting for and you're excited for?
Street Fighter Five.
Really?
Street Fighter Five. I
Wow.
don't know. We've
No,
been
I'm
playing
just
a lot of
picking on you.
fighting games recently, so I'm like
You gonna go
super hyped
pro? You gonna
for
go to
Capcom Cup and all
Yeah,
that
Capcom.
nonsense.
I'm like I insert generic fighting tournament that I have no idea what they're called.
Or like Evo.
Evo, that's the one I'm thinking of.
God, no. I lose in an instant.
Dude, you should go. Who knows? You might surprise them. Wombo combo.
Play with Dan.
Who's Dan?
He's like the worst Street Fighter character ever, but
Oh,
also
man.
almost the best.
He's the guy who is like he's like a really, really bad version of Ryu.
Okay. No
Like
Hadouken.
he does Hadouken, but it's like
Yeah.
only like a few inches in front of him.
Okay.
It doesn't fly anywhere.
Yeah, it's just like Hadouken and it's like right in front of him. Unless you're like right up on the guy, it doesn't hit anybody.
Yeah, it's like a small ball too. Like a
Yeah.
small little tiny wave.
That's weird.
Yeah. But no, yeah, Street Fighter V is my hype.
CJ, what's your
Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh.
Okay.
Now,
'Cause
so
yeah.
Mass Effect Andromeda is continuing the story of where the last one left, or is it completely different?
Well, from what I've read and hear, the way I've kind of been going about it, I've been trying to stay in the dark about it as much as possible
Okay.
because a lot of things that irritate me with games and movies nowadays is the hype.
Fair
Because people
enough.
are like, oh man, this game is so good. And then you go to play it and it's like, okay, that game sucked. Or like the hype was so damn, like you're like, oh man, I'm so excited to play this game. It's going to be the best thing ever. And then you're just like, eh.
Yeah, you were hoping for like a Cedar Point roller coaster, but it turns
Just,
out it was just Big Thunder Mountain.
yeah.
Pile poop.
From what I've heard, I think Mass Effect Andromeda, and this is just what little I've read, I think it's a continuation of basically the it's during and after three, because
Okay.
I guess what it is Andromeda is basically you're playing a character who's going to be on this ship called Andromeda, which is basically the last. It's like a collection of all the races, and it's like going off into uncharted space or something like that, to where it's like kind of repopulate if the Reavers did win. But it's like they're kind of like progressing from there. Like they're the ones that are going to try and like carry on the
A
races, or like
legacy.
carry on the legacy of what happened to all the previous. Like to come back and fight another day, kind of thing.
Right. It's like a sequel slash
Yeah,
rebirth, I
continuation.
guess.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because you're not playing Shepard, is what they've said. They've announced that for sure. You're not playing Shepard, and like even the teaser right now that they released is it's basically Commander Shepard's voice telling, good luck on your guys' mission. We're gonna stay here and fight. You guys, have fun out there.
See you later. Okay, bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's like, it's one of those things where like people are always like, "Oh, there's no games." Like I hate when people are like, "There's no games to
Oh,
play."
there's no games.
But I
Yeah, there
totally do sometimes
is.
feel like there's no games that I want to play.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and I always wonder like, even if I'm, and I always get annoyed too, because like I bought Grand Theft Auto 5 because at the time, we were all playing it, and like.
I'm still gonna
I
play
don't care to go play it anymore, right? So it's like, oh, well, I'm gonna buy this new game, play it for like a week, and then not, one, because it's digital, I can't return it, but two, I don't return games anyways. And it's like
Right.
my desire for making sure I get something out of games now puts me in such a weird position of, am I gonna enjoy this? And it's like now I find myself playing more indie games than ever because it's like I can stomach like a $10 or a $15 purchase before I can stomach a $60 one, even on like a AAA game. I don't know. It is what it is. It's interesting. It's a weird concept. But then it's like I don't know how people can like every single game that comes out or play every single game that comes out. I feel like I would get just burnt out.
Right.
But then I'll play Destiny for like hours and hours and hours. But I
Hours on.
am—I mean, I've been burnt out on that game for a while. It was kind of like, I could play it and not think about it, and it was whatever. It
Right.
occupied the time. I don't know. It's weird.
No,
But
I hear you. Fair enough.
that's me. I could go on and on and on and on about that. But. Before we wrap it up, CJ, you have a Facebook page. Your
Yes.
Facebook page is Artwork of CJ Marsh. I'm gonna link it in the post, but I found it by just Googling Artwork of CJ Marsh for those of you listening. But if you're listening on iTunes, it'll be in the description. If you go to the website, it'll be in the description. You have a Tumblr. CJMRSH, CJ Marsh without the A, .tumblr.com. You can go check out his artwork there. Do you do the Twitter or the Instagram or the.
Yeah, I got both. My Twitter is just CJMRSH,
Okay, without the
without
A.
the A. And then my Tumblr, sorry. My Instagram is, let me pull it up real quick. CJ Marsh without the A again, but 90 at the end of it.
Okay.
So
So feel free to direct your concept art questions, inquiries, tell him that his artwork looks pretty sweet to him, 'cause don't ask me, I can't answer them. I can just BS you for like 15 minutes. but he can actually give you a real answer. What's the are you going to be at any conventions coming up?
We got I got Wichita Esports is coming up here soon. Then I'm possibly going to StealthCon in Missouri, right?
Cool.
I
Do
think
you
that's Missouri,
ever
yeah.
make it out to PAX?
I'm going to try to. I don't think I'm going to make it this year,
Mm-hmm.
but in the within the next year or two,
Is
I'm
PAL like it's San I mean how far are you guys from San Antonio for PAX South? Or would PAX East actually be closer?
I
I don't
think it'd be south would be closer.
South would
Yeah,
be closer.
San Antonio is definitely closer.
Yeah.
But I've been to San Antonio. Yeah, it's like an 8 hour drive, I think,
Yeah.
or so.
Yeah, 8 hour,
Yeah, but no, I'm planning on within the next year or so. Like my this year, I got a bunch of like smaller conventions planned, but I usually post up on my Facebook or any of my accounts that I'm going to be at one or when I'm going to be at one. I'm going to hopefully get a list of which ones I'm going to be attending for the year soon, and that will be posted up. But
Sweet.
then I'm also planning on doing bigger ones next year for sure.
Cool. Now, if people want to get commissions from you, can they reach out to you on your social media? Is that how they
Yeah,
would? Okay.
just any of my social medias. I have my phone pretty much glued to my hip, and it's all tied to everything. So
Gotcha.
Like the moment anyone messages me, like I try to instantly get back to them.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having
Yeah.
me, guys.
And then how do I? Okay, I'm like in my head. I'm like, oh yeah, let me just stop recording. No. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at the DGCast. Follow us on YouTube, youtube.com/c/thedgcast. I've been a little lax on posting videos every single day. The capture card broke, and I know I'm capturing PC games. I've been trying to fix the capture card, so I have been not capturing gameplay on my computer. For those wondering, relax. Give me a fucking break, okay? I swear though, the next video I want to do is taking my Elgato to the range and destroying the thing.
Destroying
Or it's
it.
gonna be me running. It's gonna be a video of me running it over with my car and like being like, "Hey Michelin, check out how badass your tires are. They can crush this piece of shit Elgato." Because
Destroy it office space
yeah,
style.
Office Space style. I'm so fed up with this thing. So hey, AverMedia, if you wanna reach out, I'm happy to test your equipment. I imagine it will work better. Anyways, follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/dgcasttv. And I think that's it, right, Mike? Am I missing anything?
That's it.
Okay. As always, this has been episode 54. Oh my god, I never said what time it was. Okay, so it's Sunday, January 24th, by the by. You know that now, like an hour in. But yeah, so
Whoops.
that's episode 54. And as always, we will catch you
On the flip.